I usually get a very positive reaction from the public, but it's not just anecdotal. We poll this every single year, and we find over and over and over again that around 70%, 70 to 75% of the people, no matter where you are in the country, in any state and nationwide, have very favorable attitudes toward Planned Parenthood, and they understand that the work of Planned Parenthood is primarily prevention and health care and education.
There are a lot of states that are passing parental consent laws that would require a minor to get a parent's permission before obtaining an abortion. Or there are a lot of people on both sides of the issue that think the laws are reasonable. They think that, you know, a minor shouldn't undergo any sort of medical procedure without parental consent. But in your book, The War on Choice, you say this is just one way the right is working to curtail a woman's right to choose. I mean, why do you think that?
Well, we all care about our children, and I think we all do want the best for our children. And certainly, as parents, we all want our children to come to us if they're faced with an unintended pregnancy. I think we also have to be realistic as parents and as responsible adults in a society, and that is that young people don't have to ask our permission to have sex. They don't have to ask our permission if they choose to carry a pregnancy to term, something that is 20 times more risky for a teen than having an abortion. So it's clear that these restrictions on minors' access to abortion are simply ideologically motivated and designed to reduce access to abortion services for some of the most vulnerable. Because, you know, most young women do tell their parents, and those who don't are generally afraid that they will be kicked out of the house or their pregnancy is a result of sometimes even incest.
In your book, you talk a lot about how there seems to be a movement among these right-wingers to take women back to this idealistic 50s era, when they had no access or access was very limited. You don't think it's an exaggeration to say that?
Oh, it's an understatement to say that. And I know from whence I speak, since I grew up in West Texas at just about the same time as George W. Bush, by the way. I think that's a little bit of an irony that we were very close geographically and not too far away in age. And I remember that there was, I mean, that's the abstinence-only sex education was the only thing there was then. And guess what? The highest teen pregnancy rate ever took place in 1957. So these are not new issues. We thought our society had come a long way. But right now, for example, the Supreme Court stands 5-4 in favor of Roe, and even the shell that Roe is right now. So it will only take one change and one Supreme Court justice to take away the entire basis, not just for abortion rights, but for the right to get birth control, because the legal principles are exactly the same.
During the presidential election, while you were still president of Planned Parenthood Federation of America, Planned Parenthood came out for the first time backing a political candidate, John Kerry. Why did you feel it was important to finally step forward and say, we're going to support this guy for the office of president?
Well, we felt we had a moral obligation, partly because the public does have such a high opinion of Planned Parenthood. And we find that many, particularly many women voters, who are women who are registered to vote but who don't tend to vote because they are just put off by the political process and the political battles, they trust what Planned Parenthood has to say. And because the threats to the fundamental human right to make our own childbearing decisions without government interference are so immense right now, we felt that we had a moral obligation to take a stand. I think it's most unfortunate that Senator Kerry did not really articulate his views. And what we found was that even pro-choice suburban women, who are usually the swing voters and who will leave whatever party they are in to vote for the pro-choice candidate, they didn't know where Kerry stood. So the challenge for us turned out to be not so much making the decision to endorse, but rather how to educate people when the candidate himself was unwilling to really stand up and speak in strong moral terms about his position.
In your book, you do write about this idea of the right wing attacking not just abortion, but also fertility planning, all kinds of family planning issues, and really going after a woman's right to choose, all kinds of reproductive issues, and that young women are just blind to what's happening and aren't really noticing what's going on around them. What do you think it will take for the younger generation to see this war that you say is taking place?
Well, those of us who have been around for a long time have an obligation to teach and mentor the younger generations, and I'm very proud to say that Planned Parenthood of Alabama has already been doing that, working with Medical Students for Choice, having young people on their board, finding many different ways to bring young people into the not just being involved in the organization, but in leadership roles. I think you have to not just pass the torch, but light a whole lot more torches, make a bigger circle, and bring more people into the real decision-making roles within an organization. A movement has to move, and you only move by having new power, new energy, new ideas. And that's very exciting to see that going on all over the country, by the way.
Now, you also write that as well as this very extreme right wing to the Republican Party that's very anti-choice, there are a number of Republican lawmakers who are pro-choice, but who are very quiet. They're too scared to voice their opinions and to voice that they are pro-choice. What do you think it'll take for them to finally say, this is how I believe, I'm not going to go along with this extreme of my party?
Well, the Bush administration is brilliant in this way, and that they really are very skilled in the use of power. And I think that's how they've been able to silence many of the pro-choice Republicans in their own party. The only way to change that is for the people, for their own constituents, to give them so much grief. The role of advocacy is to make it impossible for policymakers not to do the right thing. So I think the only solution to that is at the grassroots level, for people to organize, activate, speak up, speak out, and basically give any policymaker who does not vote in favor of women's rights and equality and access to health care, you know, give them huge amounts of grief and make them afraid that they won't get reelected.